Hello nerds, and welcome to Technomancers, the D&D actual play podcast who have all, at one point, thought about eating dice. I'm the largely irrelevant, yet still here, Ivan Brett, coming to you from the London offices of Elastocloud, and I'm joined by three of my friends and colleagues who will introduce themselves in order of how many dice they've actually tried to eat, starting with the fewest. Okay, that means everyone ate a lot of dice.
What if I...
You only said tried.
Yeah. Who's tried to eat,
succeeded?
Who's tried to eat less than five dice in their life?
Well, I've looked at some dice and gone, they look like forbidden sweets, you know.
Excellent. And your name?
I'm Rob, and I'm going to be playing Linus of Menardis. They look like sushi, by the way, the dice.
They yum. Dice sushi's a lovely idea. Who's next?
Yeah. I refuse to believe that you've tried to eat less dice than me, Richard.
I think you're probably right. Actually, I didn't even think that was a thing, but now you've said it, I'm just wondering whether it's going to make me wiser. certainly not luckier in this game.
I ate all the sixes, why can't I roll one?
Ooh. Okay, right, so I am Dickie Basilisk. I haven't eaten any dice, but I think I probably will try this weekend.
They need boiling first.
What was that, brie? Brie and dice.
Ooh, yeah.
Delicious.
Who are we left with then? Who's still here?
I'm Misha, and I play Light Through Rain. I haven't eaten any dice, but I think I have put all of the dice that I own between my teeth at some point because they just look so appealing.
Have you put all the dice you own in your mouth at the same time?
No, but if you give me 5 minutes...
Okay, let's do it live on the podcast. our regular fourth member, Andy, has stepped away from the table for a while, but next week we'll be joined by a new cast member, so that's very exciting. Let's get on with it. We're going to play more Dungeons & Dragons. We left the campaign in a very exciting place, so we're going to jump straight back in with a quick recap. Cloud Balls Inc. are teetering on the crest of a quickly rising tidal wave, trying to work out which side to be on. On the one side, the city of Everlight, their home, their main source of energy is Horrifor, which was ripped from the grasp of the Lamplight Guild after it was revealed that the central component of the factory that produced this glowing powder was a kidnapped aquatic empress. So should they get her back and save the city from plunging into darkness? And is the oncoming darkness just the first salvo from the other side? The Spring Tide, a shadowy underwater community led by the shark-finned Prince Vigo, who seemed bent on Everlight's destruction. A secret member from their ranks, the Secretary Sardina, has commissioned Cloud Balls to steal the legendary Trident of the Tempest from its home in a temple in Treadwell, a lot of T's in that sentence, bring it to the underwater city of Bestricta and join her side. So, which way will they go? For now, the party have come to Knot, the slums populated by redfins, to see if they can discover more about the underwater civilization of bluefins, specifically to Nigel's old haunt, the Brackish Pit, where they've arranged to have an impromptu pit fight, and Dickie's tempted to start an illicit bookmaker's. And that's where we are now. You find yourself sitting at the bar of the Brackish Pit. It's a large, domed room. I would say 150 feet from side to side. It's big. The ceiling starts low on the edges, but because of the dome, it rises gradually to quite a high ceiling. But what makes it even more impressive is the centre of this room goes way down into a sand-filled pit that is essentially the bullseye of the dartboard of this room. It's wide enough, maybe 45 feet diameter, that there are then tiered seats around it. Currently, you can see a couple of people just warming up in there. There's an orc who's just clubbing himself in the head and grunting and doing it again and again. People getting ready for a couple of fights. You've been sat at this bar for 5 minutes now, and you've seen people coming and going. No actual fights going on right now, but it's pretty clear that based where the people are sitting and the general kind of makeup of the room, this is the central thing. This is what people are here to do. It's a very warm environment. There are lots of red fins around, but also plenty of elves and halflings. There are all sorts of other fish folk and bird folk and lots of people all crowded in here, drinking heavily, having a great old time. Lots of people in little booths at the side, chatting quietly over big drinks, candles lit, lanterns roaring. People moving around a lot. And within this great big melange, you've managed to settle in quite well for now, blend into the environment. You sit at the desk, waiting for Kevin and Reg, the two Minotaurs, to go and find Raxus, who organises all the fights, and get you guys in for a battle tonight. You've agreed to do a battle. I don't know if you remember that, but you have. And so that's where you are. There is a... let me see. Hang on a second. That's it. There's a dwarven bartender standing behind this bar. Quite rare to see a dwarf in Everlight, actually. They don't like the sea, so it's quite hard for them to get here. But there he is, and he's shaking a cocktail maker. And he kind of raises his eyes at you. He's kind of already serving someone else, but in the way that really good bartenders do, he raises his eyes at you and sort of tries to take your order. All right, lads, what do you want? Okay, never mind. He walks away.
No, ho, bartender, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm sorry. Do you know what? It's quite busy tonight. If you don't want something, I'll go away. But if you do want something, let me know.
We're ready to order. I would like some water, my good man. And two waters for my friends as well. We're fighting tonight, and we need to take care of our mental state.
If you want isotonic drinks, I recommend a shot of water next to one of our trademark saltwater rums. The saltiness and the freshness come together to make a beautiful isotonic drink, perfect for those people who need to exercise. Also, you get blind drunk.
Why not?
Wonderful. the shaker he's currently shaking, he pours a kind of large green drink and passes it to two elven ladies, and then gets this great big bottle, a kind of clay bottle, and pours out three shots of rum. It's a dark caramel coloured rum, and then also from a sort of large water skin, pours out three small shots of cloudy water. That's 2 gold, please.
Okay, so I've got Dickie will take this round. So I will just... I've got 6 gold on me, and I'm going to give him a couple of gold, and all of us are going to toast to a successful victory tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Linus will also like raise his glass. Whilst also very much looking at the bright green drink that has been served to the elven people.
Are you jealous?
With Linus, he's very much looking at the kind of tiny shot glass he has, and then the delicious like of cloudy water. You said it's got bits floating in it, or it's just cloudy, right?
It's rainwater,
right?
So it's kind of just it's good. It's good. Yeah. I mean, it smells great.
Delicious.
Yeah, I've seen Light Through Rain licking at puddles before, but I'm not such a big fan of just drinking a shot of rainwater and then also it costing a gold whilst there are delicious green drinks on the table.
Are you trying to hide that your covetous look at the green drinks?
Not at all.
Are you just like gawping? All right, great. The two elven women sipping at these drinks look at you, and one sort of turns away, but the other one smiles and says, "Everything all right?
What is that you're drinking?"
"Oh, this is the green-eyed monster."
A green-eyed monster? What's it made from?
Shrugs. I don't know, it's kind of sweet though.
Well, I might get myself one.
One green-eyed monster for you.
Please.
Alright, excellent, lovely. He actually sort of still has a little bit in his cocktail glass, pours it out. It's only half. He sort of mixes up another one, and as he's doing so, he kind of shakes it around. So, what are you guys here for?
Well, we said we'd do a fight, and also to meet some people and maybe have a nice chat.
You're in the right place for nice people and good chats. This place is great for that. And fighting, well, that's exciting. Wonderful. Are you a team here?
I think we are now, yes.
Oh, great news. Great news. Fantastic. Can't wait to watch it.
We're team Cloudballs, my good man. Do you care to place a wager on us? We'll give you pretty good odds.
No, I don't like the sharks. I try not to approach them. They're legitimate businessmen, but they're not my style, to be honest.
Too bad, my good man.
Are you going to place a bet?
I'm going to nose around for first of all, see what opportunities there are for investment prior to the wager.
He nods past you, slightly down this sort of tiered slope towards the centre of the fighting pit at a sort of tabaxi-like tiger folk, and also a slightly ratty-looking creature as well. Humanoid, standing on 2 feet, but with kind of rat features. And he goes, "Those are the sharks." Ironic, really. There are so many shark people here, but these are the ones we call the sharks. You don't want to get in debt with them. I've tried it. It's not good. In fact, it's pretty much driven me off betting entirely. I like people to bet on me. In fact, I do occasionally end up in the ring. He flexes his muscles. He's fairly impressive. He's got great old dwarven muscles. Even his beard looks quite muscular.
Do you have a team, or do you do fighting on your own?
Oh, well, you know, when I get in, I like to work with a team. I love to fight with Kevin. He's a great leader. And Reg, his mate, he's not bad. He gets a bit angry. But yeah, those two, we tend to fight together. Yeah. We're like the home team, you know. We're not great, but you know, everyone knows us because we serve them drinks and then we beat them up in the bottom. So it's quite good fun.
Are you fighting tonight?
If we can find some opponents, sure.
You want to go?
Oh. I suppose. Seems all, yeah, all right. What? I'll be honest with you. I was just pouring you this drink, but why don't I make it a double? He adds another whole shot of some spirit into it, shakes it up, and pours it in the rest of your glass. Green-eyed monster. There you go.
Yeah, I'll take a swig of it. I'm not going to down the whole thing.
It's syrupy. It's got a sort of apple-y, lychee flavour to it. It's incredibly strong. It is like mostly liqueur with kind of a quite acidic thing going on at the back. It's very verdant, very grassy. It's nice, but a couple of these and you'd be anyone's.
Right. Yeah. I'm gonna slow down the drinking. Kind of like, I'm going to make that shot of rainwater last.
The rainwater sits there, very slowly sipped out. The saltwater rum, if you guys have you guys tried that rum yet?
I would like to down one and then the other.
Okay. It's like having a tequila shot, but you forget to have the shot and just have the salt. It's fine. It really goes straight to your head. Like, there's a rush as it goes down the back of your throat, and it's stinging. And then you realise why you needed the rainwater afterwards. Are you going to sit with the salt water, or are you going to maybe go for some rainwater as well?
Oh, I'm going to also shot the rainwater.
As soon as you shoot the rainwater, you get the idea of the rum. Because once you've cleared your throat of the stinging salt, the rest of your body feels kind of like slightly stimulated, slightly kind of alert and aware. And yeah, it has an isotonic property. You're feeling ready to rock and roll.
I think Light Through Rain's eyes somehow get even bigger.
Oh, you like that, do you? Hey, do you know what? I'll put you another one on the house. He pours you another shot and passes it over to you.
That was fun.
He looks at it expectantly. Shame to leave it.
Oh yeah, definitely gonna do okay, it again.
Make me a constitution saving throw, please, for your third shot of saltwater rum.
It's gonna be a 15.
Okay, yeah. For now, you manage to sort of like definitely stomach this. Without even asking for it, he pours you another shot of rainwater, and hands that over to you. Looks quite impressed. Maybe a little bit disappointed. He goes, "You know what? I can't offer you another one. My boss is here. But, you know, if you want more, might make it easier for me when we fight. So bring it on."
Thank you. Is there anywhere we could rest before we have a fight?
You're welcome to sit right here. We can have a chat, catch up on old times. Not that we know each other very well, but catch up on... I can tell you about my old times. Have you got any old times that we can catch up on?
I mean, I could tell you about when I was little.
Great. Why don't you start with that? As you begin to regale him with your earliest memories, Linus and Dickie, make me a perception check, please.
That's a 13 from me.
Richard?
And a 16 from me.
Okay. Linus, you realise that throughout this entire conversation, he's been pouring you 3 shots, right? And there are 4 of you. You look around and realise that Nigel is not there. With a 16, Dickie, you look over and you see that Nigel is standing gesticulating in quite a heated conversation with a tall elf by a door in the corner of the bar.
Okay, so does it look to me like the like this is going to be violent anytime soon?
No, it give me an insight check, please.
Yep.
It reminds you of when you knew him when he was a student, right? Or no, he knew when you were a student. Okay, it reminds me of when you were getting reprimanded at university for, you know, setting off acid bombs in the refectory. And, you know, some stupid janitor would come over and just absolutely roar at you. You didn't really have an excuse, so you were trying to, like, pull him up on his logical illogicalities of what he's saying to you, but, like, you really have nothing to say. You're like, yeah, but that's cogito ergo sum, and he's like, it doesn't even mean anything. You're just trying to, like, draw him out. Appeal to authority! Just something. You don't even know what you're saying. You can see that he is desperate to argue back, but has nothing, and is getting smaller every second. He's visibly shrinking.
Okay, so I'm gonna walk over there.
You just as you begin to approach, you hear Nigel say, "I'm terribly sorry," and then this tall elf just go, "You let me, you owe me 598 gold, and it's going up because there's interest on that, and also you broke my favourite vase." As you approach, they stop and look at you. Nigel goes, "Dickie, don't worry about this. I'm just solving this."
So, well, I think there's only one remedy for this, isn't there?
Yes, one remedy. Yes, servitude.
So, who else is within a 20-foot radius of B?
Oh my god. it's quite a packed bar, so I would say there's like a bar.
I feel like the crucial question is, are me and Linus within this 20-foot radius?
No, you're not. I would say there's probably about 5 people drinking, reveling, and then you three within a... Was it 20-foot radius, did you say?
Yeah. Oh, God, no, it's... right, okay. So I really don't want to be... I don't want to centre this around me, do I?
This...
not anymore.
As you dither and fumble with your spellbook, this tall elf looks to you and goes, "Who's this then?" And Dickie goes, just a friend. And he says, "Well, maybe your friend could explain why this man here, Nigel, who used to work for me, took huge loans out from this bar, then left and did not come back, and now has put us in a very, very fragile financial position."
So, Dickie kind of straightens his hat, as he always does, before before he starts talking about Series B investment, and says, "My good man, I'm sure that that Nigel really, really took care of your investment in Kubernetes, and of course that was Series A funding, and." You know, as you probably know well from, because I saw you, you know, with your elevated tones with Nigel, that that by and large Kubernetes was a very, very great research success. But in order to get it into production, we're probably going to need 1,000 gold. So can we count you in at least, you know, for some proportion of this for the next round of funding?
Table talk for a minute here, Rich. You realise I'm trying to write Andy's character out of the campaign, don't you? Are you trying to write him back in?
I just saw an opportunity here. We got a wealthy bar owner, right? We absolutely need more investment.
Give me a persuasion check with disadvantage, please.
Meanwhile, at the bar, like through and saying, "And that was when I decided I should learn to talk to worms."
He's going, "All right, yeah." You know when someone's trying to walk away from you but can't quite go? So, like, his body has moved about 5 feet down, but his head is still there. Like, going, "Okay, yeah, all right, yeah. Oh, that's all. Oh, that was interesting." Trying to, like, put it in the past tense. That was interesting. Yeah. He can't get free of you.
What, absolutely.
What's
not.
Your persuasion check, please, Dickie?
It's 12.
With disadvantage?
Yeah.
He looks at you with a bitter face and kind of just spits at your feet. "I haven't got time or money for this foolishness. Nope, there's only one thing for it. And he grabs grabs Nigel's wrist and goes, you, sir, are washing pans for the next month. Nigel just kind of looks at you and shakes his head because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. He's dangerous. And he is dragged through a door. And just as the door opens, you just hear kind of the clanging of kitchen pots and a great big shriek from one who goes, where have you been? And a hurried and hastened apology from Nigel as the door swings closed again and you don't see him through the door.
Okay, well, Dickie waves feebly after him. And says, don't worry, Nigel, I'm going to protect all of our investments. You'll see.
Thank you. Yeah, right. Okay, I'm going now. okay, so the evening is heating up. You hear the cries and cheers as some of these early pit fighting matches have begun in this sandy pit in the centre of the bar. You can currently see a turtle, a kind of heavily armoured turtle with a helmet on made of another smaller turtle shell. A big double-headed axe just smacking away at this kind of strange, wormy-like grease creature. They seem to be having a very good time. It's all in good humour, and the crowd are loving it too. These two bookmakers are sort of taking notes, writing down bets, moving around. They're kind of moving around the circle. They always keep looking over at each other, though. They seem to be very much working together. Back at the bar, you have been rejoined by the two Minotaurs, Kevin and Reg. And Kevin places his hairy hand on your shoulder, Linus, and says, great news, guys. We're next.
Oh, perfect.
That's exciting.
Did you have a little rest? You did, by the way. I didn't say it.
I was going to say, did we mechanically have a short rest?
I think you had a little short rest, if you'd like one.
Yes, please. Because I've only got 6 hit points.
I recommend you all take a little short rest.
Just little short rest as a treat.
As a special treat. So, as that happens then, you've had your little rest. Kevin smiles at Togar behind the bar and goes, you win then? And Togar goes, oh, I wouldn't miss this one. I've got them suitably drunk. And vaults the bar, knocking over one of the green-eyed monsters of the elven women to the side, who kind of scream and step back. Sorry, ladies, I'll make you another one when I get back. And the three of them head down. Quite a funny three, you know, two Minotaurs and then Dwarven Togar in the middle, kind of, you know, the punctuation between the two different large, hairy creatures. I mean, they're all hairy, to be fair. And they make their way down to the pit. So, the three of you, will you join them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wonderful. The crowd is aware of your arrival, and you can see that the three of them are already in the centre of the pit, doing stretches. Togar is kind of, you know, hands in the air and doing lunges to each side. And the Minotaurs are just doing little shuttle sprints across the sand, kicking up dusts of sand behind them. You can also see the two bookmakers are hawking for bets. And
I love that you've also populated the map with a little crowd of people to watch us.
Yeah, absolutely. They all have stat blocks, definitely.
I was just going to say, as we're walking down into the arena, or the pit, I guess it is, as soon as that's the name of the place, if I could direct my route past the tiger tabaxi, I would like to place a bet on myself.
This tiger creature is kind of grinning with slightly scarily white teeth, and he just goes, oh, you want to bet on yourself, do you?
What are the odds?
Well, looking at you, I'm not feeling good about it. 3-1?
I'll take it.
And I'll flick a gold piece.
Okay, 4 gold if you win. If you lose, I won't be giving you anything for 2 reasons.
What's the second?
One, you'd be dead. Or knocked out. I don't know. I'd probably... Yeah, I'm trying to make you feel intimidated. Have you seen my teeth? Have you seen my teeth?
He smiles at you. He points at his teeth.
I got these, guys. They all have names.
I like them. Look at mine, and then I'm going to show him my dragon fangs.
Give me an intimidation check, please.
Okay. That's a 17.
he goes,
Hey, those are pretty good teeth. You want to have a tooth off?
Sure. And I'll like bubble my breath weapon in my mouth to kind of like backlight my teeth.
Here's what we do. I'm a betting man. Here's what we do. You see that gnome over there?
He points at a little gnome sitting on a bench eating candy floss.
We both grin at that gnome, and the one who makes him more scared is the winner.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna go first though.
Okay. Wait. What's the bet? How much are we betting? Oh.
He checks inside his little sack of gold.
How rich
is your blood?
How about if I win, you double my winnings. If I lose, I pay you another gold.
That's not high stakes enough.
He looks at your armor that you've got on. Now, this is your scale armor, right?
Yes.
I've not seen...
I've forgotten what his voice was like. I think it's changed.
I've not seen armor like that before. I like it.
He licks his lips in a weird way.
I'll have that if I win. What do you want of mine?
No, this is mine. This doesn't get bet on. This is literally the skin of my ancestors.
Well, that's kind of all I want. 50 gold. The scary gnome.
I'm not feeling confident about this. I don't have that much money.
Okay, 20 gold to scare a gnome.
Well, I still don't have that much money.
Okay, 30 gold.
That's more gold.
Okay. We'll do your suggestion. It's boring. We'll do it.
Okay.
If you can scare the little gnome more than me, I'll... Why am I suddenly Morgan Freeman?
I can't do it!
Where?
Okay, let's do it. I'm going first.
He walks up to the gnome. And he's gonna try and do an intimidation check. He goes up with like the cutest cat eyes, like, blinking, and the gnome looks up and goes, "Hello, what are you? Oh, you're a very nice kitten, aren't you?" And then, bam, 15. The gnome fully falls off his chair backwards. Candy floss in his face, begins to cry, and then as soon as he does that, Flattooth goes back into this kind of calm cat persona. Goes, "Oh, don't worry, everything's fine. Here, come on here." Pulls him back on his chair, holds his hand. "I'll look after you. Just remember, I'm holding your hand with my lovely furry paws." And then looks at you, "And don't be scared of that guy over there who's coming over now."
Okay, yeah, I'll walk over and I'll just go up to the gnome and I'll be like,
"Oh, I'm really sorry. Are you okay? I just saw you fall."
"Yeah, I fell off. I fell off the bench. And then I got my candy floss all over my face."
I'm going to pick up the candy floss, then throw it on the floor and just roar at...
Give an intimidation check, please.
Thank you. That's a 19. It was a natural 20.
This poor gnome fully runs, right? Just pulls his hand free of Flattooth, the tiger, and just bolts, screaming. Pushes into a couple of halflings straight between the two of them, runs out of the entire bar and round the corner, and the tiger looks at you impressed and goes,
"You should have seen that coming. Oh well, it was fun. I'll give you 8 gold if you win."
Deal's a deal. And then I'll pat him on the shoulder and then go into the ring.
You can see from that he's now like shortening the odds on your team a little bit. He's got a big chalkboard with like the locals, evens, and then like just a question mark with your team name, and then 3-1. He wipes it off and puts 2-1. I think he's fairly impressed by that situation. Yeah, so they're all convening. People are coming in. There's crowds building up, and you stand now in this sandy area opposite Kevin, Reg, and Togar. Is there any preparation you want to do before this battle, or are we going to go straight into it here?
I don't really...
I think so, no. Just
going to roll dog this rest. One. You've had, yeah. You want to have another rest?
Well, no, we've had a little rest.
It's true, you have.
Yeah, or right. Just to make the rest of the party aware, I only get any of my spells back on long rests, so I'm completely spent and can't heal anyone.
Nice!
Yeah, I only get side points back on a long rest, and I've got one side point left, so it's going to be great. I've got a tiny knife. That's my best weapon, is a tiny knife.
Enormous. Wow. This is going to be short, isn't it? Enormous Kevin. this great built Minotaur, ring through his nose. Friendly enough, but definitely kind of like looking intimidating, wanders over to you and goes, okay, let's make this really nice. Non-lethal hits, please. We're all here for a bit of fun. So this is going to be great. Can't wait to see. You talk the talk. Let's see if you can walk the walk. And he kind of swings his great axe round on two of his hooves and then retreats back and kind of
huffs. Like, I will just catch him at the moment and go, what are the rules on like magic and fire?
Oh, anything goes. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Bring it.
I'll use the non-lethal fire.
The non-lethal fire. Yeah.
Yep.
Sure. Great. Brilliant. So it looks like Reg is kind of mainly built for hitting. Kevin has a quite scary looking great axe, and currently Togar is just like pulling, like working at the drawstring of a bow. So they look like they're fairly kind of martial creatures, but they also look big, a lot bigger than you. So with that said, go on.
Dickie's going to jump in here and go, wait, this is just not a fair fight. You know, Linus can take all you three guys on, you know. I think maybe I'm going to have to join your side. Well, just to even the odds.
No.
Give me a persuasion check.
Yeah, so that would be an 11.
Kevin laughs and goes, what's the point? It's 3v3, we don't make it 4v2. And also, have you seen me? I'm massive.
Okay, well in that case, I need to have a run up against you. So step back 20 feet.
Yeah, run ups definitely suit us. And let's roll initiative, please.
Oh god.
They are Minotaurs. They love a run-up. I know what you're trying to do, but... also...
yeah, I would also quite like to step back from Dickie.
Right, here we go. Okay, let's roll initiative.
Okay, that's a 17 for me, for Linus.
Very nice, Dickie.
7 for Dickie.
Ooh, light through rain.
A 4 and it was a nat 1.
Krivens! Alright, which means it's Linus first in the order. The battle begins, the crowd goes slightly hushed. Across from you, the bulls begin to look like they're going to start their run-up. They're pouring? Hoofing the ground. But it's your turn. Linus, go for it.
Okay, I will, as I always do, pull out my trusty hammers, ball and peen, and I will start by absolutely launching one of the hammers. I think I'm going to go with ball. Towards good Reg choice. Because he's a bull, and I'm just going to try and absolutely donk him on the noggin. I think that's the technical term.
I think it's boff on the dilly, actually.
Okay, the dilly. I'll try and boff him on the dilly then.
Boff him on the dilly, please. Thank you.
Okay. Right, so that is a 16 to hit.
16 does hit. Yes, give me some damage, please.
That does 6 points of bludgeoning damage.
Great start. The hammer swings in the air and then smacks him straight between the dilly, and he immediately takes a hit. This Reg doesn't speak much, but when he does, it's kind of gruff exhalations, and he just looks at you. Hey. Do you have another one?
I do.
I believe you have two. I think the other one's called peen.
Yeah, ball and peen.
Exactly. I feel like there was a peen.
I do have a bull with your ball.
Is there a peen?
I have my...
I'm a peen, says Toga. I don't know what it means, but it's me.
So one of them is a returning weapon. So I guess that is now bull that is the returning weapon. So that immediately returns to my hand. So I'll have to run in to hit him with Peen.
Okay. You go for it.
Which I have a movement of 30 feet. So hopefully... you can reach him, I think. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. There we go. I will move once again next to Reg, and then, dunk him at close range.
Dunk him this time.
Same again. Okay. That is. Oh, that's only a 9.
That doesn't hit, but you've got in and amongst him, as they say.
Yes.
And by doing that, he kind of looks a bit like, well, it's like when you step in a lift and get a bit too close to someone. It's just all a bit awkward. As you kind of go for him, you just hit fur and armor, but he kind of looks slightly bothered by the fact that he can't take a run up at you. Nice one. That's the end of your turn, Linus, I believe.
Yes, it is.
Diggy!
So what is the two between me and them?
You're about 10, 20, 30, 40 feet from Togar, 30 feet from Kevin, I'd say.
So, if I centered a sleep spell between Togar and Kevin, would Linus fall asleep as well?
You could fully avoid him. I think you'd probably get a member of the crowd. No, you can avoid the crowd too. Yeah, you can just get those two straight in the sleep spell.
Let's get some crowd in as well.
Are you sure? Do you remember how the spell works, Richard? In fact, I don't want to say this, but do you know how the spell works?
Yes.
Good. You roll a variety of dice, and that is the hit point pool from which it subtracts from to send creatures to sleep. It will look for the least healthy creature. So there's some like cigar smoking lunatic just right behind them who just looks like he's like pretty much ready to go. It'd pick him first. He'd go to sleep. It would then subtract that many hit points from the remaining pool and try to make another creature go to sleep. So if you want, I know you don't, but if you wanted to be effective in casting this spell, you would try to have only the creatures you want to go to sleep and not anyone else within that circle of
let's focus on the two minotaurs.
Exactly. All right, good. So, you're going to cast sleep on the area between Kevin and Togar. Nice one. Go on then.
There we go. So, 7 hit points of creatures, higher level cut, 24 hit points of creatures.
Great. Okay. You cast this spell. What does it look like again when you cast sleep?
Okay. So, Dickie straightens his hat before he does anything. we see all these little dancing lights, looking like really, really happy, kind of light fairies and pixies just coming out the top of my hat. A little bit of whispering, a little bit of like sleepy singing, heading towards the center point between the two minotaurs.
The strange thing about this cast is it's always been pretty similar, little tinkles and everything. This time, it feels like someone else is joining the song. There are golden sparkles, like golden droplets, that are kind of like bursting, almost like being sucked in magnetically and then bursting, so that the stream of magical energy and influence that's heading towards Kevin and Togar is being amplified somehow. You feel the power of Luetaya, the goddess of sleep, amplifying your spell. And as you do this, the spell kind of floats over Kevin and Togar. And Togar, the barman who was serving you, just goes, and just poof, collapses to the ground. His bow twanging loosely beside him. He drops straight to sleep. Kevin looks back, looks at Yuminga, goes, I see how it's working. Okay. Togar is fully asleep. Well done. That's your action. Spend a spell slot. Anything else you want to do on your turn, please?
I am just so happy that I haven't put myself to sleep for once.
Is this the first time you've actually managed to use sleep?
That's all right.
Is it bad that I feel almost disappointed?
It's all right. We've still got half an hour to go.
All right. Cool. Do you want to move?
Could you just give me a 360 degree view of what's around me?
Ahead of you are the three enemies. One's asleep, one is very much engaged with Linus. Congratulations, both of you. And behind you is 10 feet before the wall, and some crowd who are kind of coming in. They're seeing this is going to be an interesting match, and they're kind of crowding in. So you've got about 10 feet behind you, some space, light through rain on your left, and then ahead of you, maybe 30 feet before the enemies.
Okay, I think I'll move back to standby light through rain now.
Okay, yeah. You cast the spell and then sort of urgently run behind Lightfoot Rain. It's Togar's turn. Togar sleeps. He's got a minute asleep. He doesn't get to make saving throws here. He can be woken up, of course, but he is currently asleep. On his turn, however, he, on the ground, just kind of goes, "Mommy!" And he... Okay. He doesn't look well. He looks like he's kind of breathing quite fast. Doesn't look good. Doesn't look good.
Like he's having a nightmare.
He may be having a little nightmare, yes. Reg, it's your turn. Oh, that's me. Reg is... he's a little bit annoyed about not being able to run up against you, Linus, but he's just going to go for a gore. He just puts his head down and just tries to, like, headbutt you. That is going to be a 19 to hit.
Yep, that hits me.
For, oh my god, 10 points of piercing damage?
Oh dear. Yep, that does more than half of my health.
And he's looking furious. He's looking absolutely furious. Next in the order is Kevin, who is going to try to run at you, Lightfoot Rain. Yes, he is. Yeah. Kevin just sort of stamps the floor once, twice more, and then just runs at you, Lightfoot Rain, going for a huge running attack. Where is he? There he is. Excuse me while I bring him up. Okay, he's going to go for a great axe attack, but he is also going to have some extra damage if he hits based on the run-up that he gets. Does an 8 hit?
An 8 does not hit.
Olé! Oh, as he runs at you, you just managed to dodge. He runs straight past you. Dickie, he almost gets you as well, but he just kind of runs both past the both of you and just ends up a little bit behind you, looking a bit discombobulated. That is a miss. He is not able to do anything more on his turn. Lightfoot Rain, it is your turn.
I really want it to be like he's sort of coming at incredible speed and like her own just steps sideways at the last possible moment.
So good. He looks so amazed, like, whoa, love it, love this. Oh, who are you? Your turn, Lightfoot Rain.
Yeah. I am going to use my last side point. I think I am. I'm going to use Ethereal Weapon.
Go for it.
And attempt to stab him with my tiny psionic dagger. Having transformed it into pure psionic energy, he needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
Nine.
Which he's is against...
He's big and juicy. That's never going to beat you, is it?
No, that does not beat me.
He tries to deftly dodge, but he does not deftly dodge nothing.
No. On a failed save, takes normal damage and suffers its additional effects, which is just being stabbed by a tiny dagger.
Okay.
But it's a definite hit, so we'll take it. 6 piercing damage from Fantastic. The tiny dagger.
You dig in, you find a little area that he wasn't protecting, and you just dag in with your ethereal weapon. It goes straight through, up kind of underneath his rib. Oh, you're good? You're good. But I'm better. All right.
Cool.
Great.
That's me done.
Fantastic. Next in the order is Linus.
Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stay within range of Reg, but I will just step slightly to the side just so that Togar is pretty much directly behind Reg, and then I'm going to use my breath weapon.
I'm learning up some breath weapon snooker right here.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm going to inhale, do the same thing that I did with was it Flattooth before? Kind of bubble the flames at the back of my throat. And then just absolutely, like, let rip this kind of beam of fire from my mouth.
Wonderful. What have they got to do? Some dex saves?
Dex save, yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, so I would say Togar automatically fails because he's asleep. And Reg rolls a 15.
That passes. So okay. Let me roll the damage. If I can find out where it is. There it goes. 2d6 damage on a failed save, half as much on a success. So let me roll 2d6. That is a 7 on the dice.
Fantastic. So who gets that? That's for Togar, isn't it?
Yeah, Togar takes 7 and then half as much for Reg.
I think Togar's going to wake up, isn't he, from that? Yeah, he will, right? Oh, so he just goes, Mum! As he's on fire. Oh, what's going on? Oh, no! He's burning. He's on the ground. He's not having a very nice time, I would say. He doesn't look very healthy either. Whereas Reg takes half, which would be 3, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he's furious too. These guys are pretty angry about all of this. Next in the order is Dickie.
Okay. Well, I've still got 2 spell slots. Togar has felt my wrath and my power. Kevin has been testing Linus, hasn't he? How close is Kevin to Linus?
Oh, you're pretty close because he's come round straight to you. He's like 10 feet away from you.
Right? It's Reg that's next to me.
Okay,
and it's Kevin that's next to
Kevin.
You.
Dickie's near Kevin. Yeah. Okay. Kevin looks altogether a bigger threat, I would say as well.
Okay, 10 feet's not good.
You could back
yeah,
up.
Yeah, but I'm right next to you still, aren't I, Light Through? Okay, yeah. Can I grab Light Through Rain and back up? It's not her turn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, Light Through Rain, if you want to allow that, if you want to resist, let me know.
if Dickie's backing up, I am, if anything, actively trying to run backwards as well.
Let me see, would that pull you away, meaning Kevin gets an attack of opportunity, though?
I don't know.
I think it would. I definitely think it would because yeah, absolutely. When you leave his range. So Dickie, you could do that, but you would probably be hurting Light Through Rain in the process. You could just back yourself up knowing that she can probably deal with herself.
Can she?
I don't know, can she?
I think whichever option we take, it ends painfully. Yeah.
Dickie, you could send Kevin to sleep if you want.
I think I'll do that.
Yeah.
Right.
I think if you centre it just right, you might manage to miss me.
If you centre it on yourself, Dickie, it might be really good. Might be really effective.
No, I can't.
You could try that.
Between the both of us and see what happens.
I think maybe what I'll do is I'll send a few more people to the sleep plane first before I...
I think you could probably just about fit a 20-foot radius that doesn't include Light Through Rain, but does include
Let's
Kevin
do that.
Within the without getting too many passers-by hit by it.
Absolutely
well.
Do that, then.
Or
I can do that now.
Right. Or you could definitely centre it right in the middle of this triangle that you, me and Kevin are making and just absolutely...
No, I
please, send yourself to sleep.
I remember the last time I did that Light Through Rain. I am going to save that for later because it was quite comical.
Right.
But for the moment, we have some really, really angry Minotaurs, so I'm going to deal
we do.
With that. Okay. So, 15 points of hit creatures.
It's Ooh. Not quite enough. As you send no. over the once more amplified sleep, the little droplets of gold sort of burst on his forehead, and he just goes, oh, I like it. But I had a nap, and I'm feeling pretty fresh. But he does not fall asleep.
Oh, stupid goddess.
Yeah, no, it's all her fault. So that's your action. Do you want to move?
I am going to back away quite quickly.
Okay. On Togar's turn, he is awake and he's a bit angry. So he is going to storm towards... Ooh, is he angry at Dickie? No, he's going to storm towards Light Through Rain. 10, 20. Ooh, actually, he can't reach you. So if anything, he backs off. All right, yeah. So Togar is going to back off. He raises his heavy crossbow and he's going to fire one at you, Light Through Rain. So that is a 14 to hit.
Does not hit.
Whoa, amazing. Okay, great.
Yeah.
He has an... Oh, he only gets to make 2 melee attacks. Just the 1 heavy crossbow attack, so he does not attack. He swears that, like, fucking hell! As he furiously slams his hand on his bow to do another one. And that is the end of his turn. Reg, however, is going to have another go at Linus. Right. Reg is... I think he's going to go for, like a hoof kick, you know? A hoof kick straight on you, that is going to be a 10 to hit.
That does not hit.
Oh, no. Reg is frustrated and does not hit. He's not going to move, though. He huffs through his nose at you. Kevin's turn now. Kevin is going to get between Light Through Rain and Dickie. He just walks around. He's kind of loving this challenge. And as he does that, he is now going to turn his back on you, Dickie. His tail slightly wagging, curiously. And he is going to go once more for an axe attack against Light Through Rain.
Okie dokie.
Minotaur. There we go. Doesn't get the big advantage this time because he's not done a huge charge, but it still could be quite a lot. That ignore that. No, that's fine. 9 to hit.
9 doesn't hit.
Amazing! Look at that. 3 attacks, 3 misses. You guys are on the up here. Light through rain. Your turn.
Yeah. I've just realised I spent ages googling something, but actually he is engaged with me and vice versa.
Congrats.
Kevin is. So I'm just gonna stab him with my little stabby dagger.
Go for it.
That's what I'm going to do. 16 to hit.
Definitely hits.
Yeah. 4 piercing damage.
Oh, brilliant. Well done. Yeah, he's hurt. He's like, he laughs again. Starting to regret this. Anything else you can do in your turn? Do you have a second dagger? Because that's a light weapon.
Do I? That's a very good question. I've got a small knife. I don't... Let me just check if I've got anything else that's light.
That's a utility knife.
Yeah, that's just a small
that's
knife.
Just a butter knife. That. Oh, you could apply some butter to Kevin, I guess, with your butter knife. If you
I could. I presume I can't use the same dagger twice if I'm holding on to it.
Not that you can correct me on this, but I think with a light weapon you've got to use a second light weapon, not the same one.
I think it's an offhand thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an offhand thing for sure. Okay, great. Yeah. Next in the order is Linus.
Yep. Fallen peen again.
Go for it.
So the first is an 18 to hit.
Fully hits.
Does 3 bludgeoning damage.
Nice.
And then second attack. That is a 22 to hit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And 6 bludgeoning damage.
Hey, good stuff. Ball and Peen doing their work. Reg is looking really hurt now. He kind of, you can tell he's like bleeding from various places and going, don't go easy on me. Don't go easy on me.
Yeah, Linus is almost like, the way that he's swinging these hammers is very much back... At the volcano making armor, you know, it's almost rhythmic, the way that he's swinging. He's just getting into the momentum of things.
Emotionless and sort of crafty. It's great. I love it. Dickie, you're next.
Well, we've got 10 minutes and I've still got 1 spell slot, and I need to wreak havoc. Dickie's actually quite. He's reasonably uncomfortable about returning to the sleep realm these days. So I think he's going to push all opportunities to like foul up our band of adventurers away from us all towards. So
surprise.
Yeah. So
wow.
I think it was the dice that I ate earlier. I just feel so much smarter now. Right.
You just burped a crit.
Can that be the name of the episode, please?
Burped a crit.
Yes, brilliant. You just burped a crit.
Love it.
Burped a crit.
So I think Kevin is still far away enough from Linus, Light Terrain, and myself. Probably equidistant from Linus and... us. So I'm going to try and make him sleep again.
Yeah. Okay, I think you can just about reach him. That's fine. Yeah, okay, great. So you're going to try and get Kevin to sleep and no one else? Give me some dice, please. He's not looking so healthy now, so maybe you can get him to sleep. You need 16 or more. I've given it away there. Just set it out. Whoops, did I say it out loud? Did you find it? Yeah. Yes. What did you get?
22.
Fantastic. You release a third sleep spell, this time right in front of you to Kevin, who just kind of goes, you can't get me there, and just collapses down, great axe clattering on the floor beside him, and he just is snoring on the ground. He is fully asleep. Well done, Dickie. That's your action and your third spell slot. Anything else you want to do?
No, I think that concludes my successful evening. Everybody should be fear dicking.
Togar immediately fires a heavy crossbow at you. Does a 13 hit? Okay, let's have a look at this. That's going to be... Oh, great. That's only 4 piercing
damage. Good. I can survive that.
Fantastic. Next on the order is Reg, who is going to go for another gore at you, Linus. Here we go with the gore. 8 to hit.
That does not hit.
Oh, these guys are rubbish. Oh, I should have bought the expansion pack. Oh, what? Kevin is sleeping, and you just hear him just go, no, I've had enough jelly. Oh my god, he takes a big hit from his sleep. You see his entire, you know when you fall in your sleep and you just go and jerk. He does that. His whole spine just kind of bends in the wrong direction, and he just returns to a sleeping slumber. No, jelly, no. Next in the order is Light Through Rain.
That's unsettling. Mm-hmm. If he's asleep, are we now disengaged?
Oh, you're disengaged. Yeah.
Excellent.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, you've broken up the engagement. Yeah.
It's for the best. We just weren't getting on.
It's like a really cute pizza party and things in the future. White wine. Manicure.
I'd like to use Nomadic Step, which is one of my equivalent to a cantrip level psionic talents.
Cool.
Which essentially allows me to... It's described as a teleport, but what it does mechanically is increase my walking speed by 10 feet until the end of... Let me try that again.
It does mechanically
increase my walking speed by 10 feet per turn.
Great.
And then having done that, so I can now sprint far enough, I would like to basically tank it 35 feet across the arena.
Are you fast walking right like those Olympic guys with the big bums who just like wiggles their bum 40 feet rather than 30?
It's tempting, yes. Mm. Or like, you know when you're sort of... when you meet a cat on the street and then they walk alongside you and they're sort of almost trotting but not quite.
It's really cute.
She's like, I'm keeping up with you.
So you do that across the arena. Yes.
Yeah, slightly wiggly. And then attempt to... I mean, I guess I'm going to attempt again to stab him with my tiny dagger because it's the most effective weapon. I really need to go weapon shopping.
Yeah, you do. Okay, great.
For something better than a dagger. 18 to hit.
Fantastic, that hits.
She's not a strong cat. 7 piercing damage.
That's good, though. That's really, really good. You stab into Togar, who's kind of fumbling with his bow, trying to get another arrow in there. So you stab into him. Yeah, he's looking pretty hurt. Good job. Nice one. Linus, your turn.
Okay. Sorry, I was a little bit distracted because all I was thinking when Misha did say, stab closer and then tiny dagger, and it just reminded me of that song.
Tiny dagger. Yeah.
I'm gonna unsurprisingly once again hammer away.
Okay.
First one. Ooh, that is only a 10.
Doesn't hit.
Okay, so
ball or peen?
That was definitely ball. Always ball, then peen.
Yeah. we know this. Okay.
Peen comes down with a 15.
It's a 15. Let's do it. Come on.
15.
Which as it's known.
Another 6 bludgeoning damage.
Oh, you knock him straight out across the neck, severing. No, you don't say it's non-lethal.
Non-lethal.
Isn't it?
Non-lethal.
Severing one of his less important arteries as he goes down. Moo. As he falls to the ground into the sand, his face grazing the grit. He is out of here. Reg is done.
Linus will try and just grab his head to make sure it doesn't hit the floor too hard.
I make a dexterity saving throw, please. Thank try you. And grab his head.
Saving throw, dexterity. There we go. That's an 8.
Nope.
But I tried.
His chin lands on a really weird angle. Ooh. Dickie, your turn.
I don't have any spell slots left. I suppose I can hit someone with my quarterstaff.
Yeah.
You could.
Just to really make you aware, if you hit Kevin with your quarterstaff, you're essentially nudging him awake. But he's not that healthy, so it might be enough of a nudge to knock him back out again. Equally, you probably couldn't reach Togar with your running.
Oh god, then I've got to whack Kevin somehow. I've got to do something.
Hang on. What about your cantrips? Do you have any special lovely cantrips?
I think I have pretty much everything that I've got is completely useless. I've got dancing. I think, yeah.
It's on brand.
The only cantrip that I've used was Gust against Galantis Jr. last time.
That's right. Yes. Tiny Gust against a white tiger.
Yes, you just sort of farted in the general direction, didn't you?
No, so
Try that again.
I don't think that's going to work as well as I would want to hurt this guy. So yeah, I'm going to whack him with my quarter staff.
Are you whacking sleeping Kevin or nearly dead
Sleeping
Togar?
Kevin.
Okay, you wander up and okay, go for it.
Oh, yay!
The children's game, Sleeping Lions.
That hits. Go for it.
Oh. Is it like a tickle?
What'd you get? Oh no. Yeah, yeah. You simply just get, he just goes, what? I was asleep. He just wakes up. Oh, thanks for waking me up. That's great. Oh, let's get back on with the fight.
Bloody.
Togar's turn. Because he's all up in your grills, or you're up on his grills, I suppose. He drops his bow to the ground. And he is going to try and mace you. Not with the spray, but with the weapon with the same name. It's a natural one. He drops his mace. He's not unarmed. He just goes, make you a drink? I've got salt water rum. Please don't hurt me. That's the end of his turn. Reg is unconscious. That's Kevin. Okay, well, Kevin stands up. Thanks you. And then it's going to hit you with a great attack. Yes, it's only fair.
Oh dear.
13 to hit, Dickie. Okay. That's 9 points of piercing slashing damage.
I am not nearly dead. I'm kind of in it.
Okay. Yeah, he goes for like one of the lesser jugulars, I think. I don't want to hurt you. I just want to win. Light through rain, your turn.
I mean, the sheer temptation just to headbutt him because we're so close together, but it's much more effective if I stab him with my tiny dagger.
Yeah, headbutt him with a knife.
yeah. It's that. We're nice and close. Stab him with a tiny dagger. Earworm everybody with the melon chop. 14 to hit.
Yes. Where did you aim, by the way? The head. The ear? Is it a sharp earworm?
I don't know why I've imagined that he's fully armoured, but like, you know, the sort of the gap in armour, like the neck joint?
Ooh. Oh yeah, the neck joint. That's exactly where
to
get
in.
Give me some damage, please.
That's going to be 5 piercing damage.
Oh, it goes straight in. And it non-lethally severs his throat.
Just gives him a really embarrassingly close shave.
Oh, ow! He falls down unconscious. He is out. And Light Through Rain, congratulations. We are back to Linus.
Okay. Linus is going to start running towards Kevin. But we'll just before running towards, he'll throw ball at him. And then run in to follow up with Pete. So
wonderful. So throw ball first.
Throw ball. That's 23 to hit.
Oh, that hits.
And does 3 bludgeoning damage.
Fantastic. Ball does 3 and returns to your hand. You are now. You've reached him for the second attack.
Yep. So I've moved in.
Love it. Come on, finish him off, mate.
Peen. That's only an 8, unfortunately.
Oh, doesn't hit. Doesn't hit. He is still standing, just about. And now we go to Dickie. Dickie, your turn. One more bludgeoning attack.
Because the last one was so effective.
You can finish him off with your big stick.
You do minus 1 damage this time.
It's more effective than Linus's attempt to finish him off with his peen.
He's never been effective at finishing off with his peen, has he?
No. Much better with a bowl.
Come on, this is it. The final hit, Dickie. We've got to do this. Hits!
Yay. 3 bludgeoning damage.
Come on.
Dickie. Finish him.
I am gonna
non-lethally.
Tell me how this goes.
I'm gonna take my quarterstaff. It's a little bit too heavy for me, so I'm holding it too close to the edge, so it kind of drops down on his hoof, and just hits him right between the crack between his toes in his hoof. Yeah, the cloven bit.
Not the clove. Yeah, you do that. He kind of hops upwards. Ooh, ow, ow, ah, ow. And like if you kind of bend your finger back a bit too much, you just kind of faints from the pain. It drops back down. Just goes, oh, good job, everybody. And just falls backwards. The crowd erupts. cheering you on, this new team, all three of you standing, you've beaten these guys, and the crowd is absolutely loving it. Flat Tooth leaps over the side of the thing and walks to you, Linus, handing you 8 gold.
Yes.
He just says, you know, we got a boss who could do with your kind of his voice definitely changed. Hey, we got a boss who could certainly have your kind of strength around. You want me to introduce you? I could take you there.
Yeah, I think it'll be worth having a conversation. I'm pretty sure we've got a couple of questions to ask him anyway.
Oh, hey, Silverfish! The other rat looks over. Hey, we got some people to take to Baraz. Silverfish sort of twizzles his whiskers and goes, okay. And that's where we'll end the session. Well done, everybody. Great. You beat the final boss. Congratulations.
We win.
Wonderful.
We
okay.
didn't die.
Well, I'm just going to say thank you very much, everybody, for tuning into this podcast. You will catch up next episode as we go and meet whoever Baraz is and worm our way into the depths of the crime world of Knot. So stick around for that. And thank you, everyone. See you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Technomancers, a D&D podcast. You can subscribe to hear the next episode when it comes out, and until then, see you later, nerds.
Have you turned on your recording?
In the red corner.
I forgot to start recording and then I got distracted.
Doing an actual crime in real life won't help.
This is not a test of the emergency broadcast system.
Meow.
Richard Anthony Conway, will you pay attention at the back, please?
If you do an actual crime in real life, then that's a different problem, Richard.
Come on then, everybody. Let's play Dungeons and also Dragons.